At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's not just a floor. Wow, it's Nature Stone.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner.
Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, away we go. Start a new sports week with you. We are Rothman and Ice. Happy to have you guys aboard. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and CB is behind the glass. How we feeling?
Steamy, hot. Mm-hmm. It's here, man, but I'm feeling good. You know, I missed you guys on Friday. Appreciate you guys holding it down for me. I had to bow out for a very unfortunate reason. We had to go honor one of my good friends and Pat White on Friday for his funeral. But yeah, man, the weekend for me outside of that was pretty cool, man. A lot going on in the NFL, in the baseball world, NBA playoffs popping off. So yeah, man, I'm feeling good. You doing all right?
Good to have you back. Yeah, we were thinking of you on Friday and always will. And condolences to your very good friend's family. There's nothing more to say other than that we are thinking of them tremendously. We will get back to it today. We've got, I got to be full admission. The first round of the draft is great. And stay up for the whole thing. I watched the last three picks in bed on Friday night or Thursday night. And it was Thursday night.
Yeah, it was Thursday.
Thank goodness.
I know. It's all blended
and
together.
And then Friday night started at 7. Okay. And I got to be, there are times where I DVR it. You know, I want to go back, see what your team did, see what the Browns did, see what the Bengals did. And I got to tell you, burning a whole weekend now on the draft, it's just not for me. I know some people love it. Weather was too good. We're just breaking out of it. You can always go back. It's good background noise, and it's every now and then you kind of dip into it.
Yeah.
But I am ESPN jingled out.
I'm with you when it comes to how much draft I consume now. When I got past the first round, fast forward through it all. Get to my team, get to CB's team, your team. What is everybody else doing around the league? Like, I was watching more of the NBA playoffs on Friday than I was the NFL draft. And I really didn't watch anything, beyond that. Yeah,
he likes doing this to me.
We're good now. Yeah. We're good now. Like, I'm good. I don't need to hear it again until 2025. I really don't.
And we just did.
Right.
Again. Yeah, it's all good. There were a lot of good things to watch in the draft. We talked about, you know, Raj, and they did. Congratulations. That's great. I thought he was off his game on Thursday.
Well, he had the back surgery, right?
Oh, must have been it.
Because I found that out standing. When we left that it was in question whether or not, you know, the guys that were getting drafted were going to be able to do the handshakes and the hugs with
they
Raj.
They did, though.
And they were instructed to be very careful.
Yeah, careful.
Fresh off of back surgery.
They picked him up and bear hugged him.
So maybe that's why he was
that's
a
amazing.
Little off. Maybe that's why.
Why would they even allow that?
I don't know. Maybe he was off some of those Aaron Rodgers, you know, the goodie bags he got from Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't quite there.
You got to be kidding me. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
A little bit more too, CB.
Them wanting him to be physical like that at all.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. All right. Well, he came out with that M&M and all that. And it was, I don't know, it got a little cringy. I actually thought the best thing they did on Thursday night was the pre-taped open with Goodell and Calvin and Barry and M&M. I thought that the tape version was pretty good.
Yeah, M&M on stage was just kind of there. You know, he hopped on the mic a little bit. I thought maybe we'd get a little bit of lose yourself popping off.
They were talking about, they took the lines from the song.
Right.
And they made him kind of part of the script that they did for the taping.
They had my attention when Raj dropped the line, like, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll get a little rap battle going on or something like that. And I was like, okay, where are we going with this? And it was just kind of welcome to the draft. And Eminem had his sweats on and was up there like, go Detroit. And I was like, okay, good. Let's get on with it. And then the Bears did what you love. They have to be instructed to do this by the league, right?
What, the fake hugs?
No.
Well, there's a video that came out from the draft room where Pulse told Caleb Williams that they've been instructed to wait 5 minutes.
Okay. So this is coming from the leak. The
call's I got something else for you.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Did you guys see the call between the Bears and Caleb?
No.
And I don't know. We got to go back. Somebody said to him, I love you. and it was okay. I understand kind of in a sports way. CB, you might be able to find this.
Yeah.
Because it was all over the internet, and I can't remember. It wasn't Coach, and it wasn't Poles. Who would that have been?
So maybe wasn't Eberflus?
Maybe it was Eberflus. It might have been. And he was like they couldn't have been laying it on any more thick. And Caleb's just kind of smooth and whatever, and yeah. keeps cutting back to the two of them on the phone call. And he's like, all right. And it wasn't an I love you, man. It was just like, I love you. Like, and I thought to myself, what do you hope he says back? I love you too? Like, when you say that to somebody,
oh, man.
Like, it was very cringy, the whole thing. And then the Bears, the whole fake hugging from the top camera yeah. in the draft rooms, like, everybody just picked, like, the Hall of Famer, right? It's unbelievable. The congratulating yeah. themselves
it's
on
fake.
The pick that they know they've been making.
There you go.
I guess now that it's official, we can all high five. Maybe that was it. But I got to tell you, if you guys watch anything from the draft,
I do want to
go watch the Bears phone call with Caleb
yeah.
and see if you can get, you got the, now who is it? Can you set it up for me?
It looks like it's Ryan Poles to start.
Okay, but who's, all right.
We got to find out who says I love you.
It's about a minute 40 long.
It's really cringy. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, of course, now that you brought it up, absolutely. Right. Spin it, CD. Oh,
look at that's the even ring. Better.
Hello?
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 Who's this?
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Chicago Bears, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm yeah. good.
They told me to hold it for. They told me to hold it for 5 minutes. I told everyone I've been holding it for a month.
5 months. 5 months. I've been holding for 5 months.
So that's Poles.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna pass you over to Coach,
this is Coach.
And Kevin Warren, and we'll put the pick in 5 minutes, or not in 5 minutes, but at the 5 minute mark.
Sweet.
All right.
Here's Flus.
That was awkward.
Yeah, wasn't it?
My guy.
Here.
What up? Hey, this day's gonna go down as an iconic day in Bears history, my friend. I'm super excited for you that you realize your dream of being the first pick in the NFL draft. That's so cool.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I'm more excited about our football team starting this process and achieving our next goal. And looking forward to our journey together. And I love you. And God bless you. And here's Kevin Warren wants to speak to you, too.
Okay. Maybe yep. not as crazy as I originally thought.
And I'll see you tomorrow, brother.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Okay.
I love you. God bless you.
That helps.
The polls part of it was more cringe than Eberflus to me at
like
the beginning.
Who, like...
Hello, hey.
Like, who is this? Like they were trying to play a game with him.
Like, no, I can't get on Eberflus for that.
Okay.
It's not as cringy for me.
So better that he said, I love you, rather than...
I think the tone of his, I love you.
If he just said, love you, man, I think that would have been good.
Okay.
I think when I first heard it,
yeah,
I thought he said, I love you.
Like,
with a you.
I love you.
Yes.
See, that would have been creepy.
But he did say, I love you.
Okay.
I love you. Like, it was kind of like...
That was a good find by CB right
there. All right.
And then the interesting part of that was Caleb was like, 5 minutes? I've been waiting 5 months.
5 months.
I've been knowing forever that you guys were drafting yeah. me number one overall.
Well, by the way, and that says how hopefully excited he was to be there.
He seems right? like he's all in. I mean, I heard an interview with him just talked about, I think it was on stage, we talked about, yeah, obviously these guys probably have canned answers to a certain degree, mm-hmm. but he was mentioning the stuff he wanted to do in the community. He does seem genuinely excited, and I'm sure in his mind he has known for a very long time, I'm the guy. I'm always curious, like, that. Does that take away from the process for some of these guys? Or for him, it's like, I'm on house money. I'm the number one
I think it's
overall
more,
pick.
I think yeah. it puts you in a really good mindset.
Comfortable, right.
Most of these guys know where they're going to go, but there's always that in the back of your mind. Am I going to be, is something weird going to happen for me? And if I'm attending, because, you know, JJ, we talked about last week, wasn't going. He put the camera in the house, though.
Mm-hmm. It's your guy now.
It's he is guy. My guy, but I had a big problem on Thursday.
Oh.
You guys know what it was, or Friday morning. You guys want to go back and watch something, you go back and watch this. So they cut to JJ McCarthy's house, and they're all there. Okay, and there's this beautiful dog sitting in front, like a yellow lab or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dog's like paying attention to everybody, and no one is, they, you know, when the camera goes to the house, everybody in a delay, they say, okay, we're on now, right? Now they're watching themselves. That has to be kind of uncomfortable. And he hasn't been picked yet. And the dog is there, and it's facing the people. Once you know you're on TV, somebody go pet the dog. It was bothering me so much, okay. but it didn't bother me more than after he was picked, and they all get excited, you got to watch this poor dog. It's looking up at all these people. The head's going back and forth. The tail's wagging. Somebody pay attention to me.
Give me some love.
And nobody did.
Okay, I thought it was going to be worse than that. I thought we were mistreating the dog.
So no, you're just
saying,
not.
Give the dog more love.
Yeah. Let him hop up on the damn couch with you.
You might be finding out more about that dog now since he's your guy. Well, JJ, coming to mini, baby.
If he doesn't succeed to some degree now, then it's really a failed pick because he is set up to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to probably let Sam Darnold at least throw some fire under him a little bit. Like, hey, it's not your job just yet.
I think it's working both ways, right? I think what you just mentioned with Sam Darnold trying to get JJ going. But now when you're Sam Darnold, you wake up now and you're not as comfortable as you were obviously a week ago because they spent a first round pick on a quarterback, and we know how the game usually works. When you take guys in the first round, I agree. But when you take guys in the first round, that clock starts right away. And there hasn't been a whole bunch of examples of guys really waiting around for long periods of time when you're a quarterback and you get selected in the first round. And I'm assuming we can get to that next because Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'll give you my take after the break because that was the jaw-dropping moment, I think, the entire
week. It was the story of the whole first round and the whole weekend. Outside of Dallas Turner eating Doritos wearing a lime green suit, it's amazing.
Yeah, man. You got the munchies.
No, I know, but like the Doritos dust on a lime green suit.
Was it nacho cheese? Is that the flavor he was eating?
Who cares?
Because I feel like if it's Cool Ranch, you may be able to get away with it. But if it's that nacho cheese, you could have some issues.
I mean, if one of those little corners clips off and falls on that suit, you're dusting. Not getting it off there.
Can't blow it off.
Maybe you could, but if you try to like brush it
off, I don't think you want to brush it off, right?
You got to blot that.
Alpaca.
You got to blot that. Exactly.
That's a rough way to get a beating via piano. The dude in the American Gangster.
That was pretty
strong.
In
the piano.
He pretty much deserved it, though.
He did. But that's
the beating you're going to take at like a party because that's what he got to work with, right?
You're saying if you're Denzel?
Yeah, no, that's all he had to work with.
The weaponry around
was that piano.
Well, I'm sure there were some other things maybe tucked in the waistline.
I'm sure, but he's at a party. He doesn't want to do anything too stupid.
Well, he did, eliminate a human being on the street. In that.
Yes, that's true, too. 20%. All right, when we come back, Matt will give his take on his guy and where he went. And one Buckeye, I felt like this was an eye-opener. Landed with a little bit of stardom. We'll tell you about it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men and bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, we'll have Tage Seth on, Sumer Sports, NFL data scientist, 12:33. Kind of crunch the draft a little bit for you. Listen, you can go through all the grades all you want. And, if you're a team like the Bears and you grab Caleb Williams and Adunze at 9, you make those picks and you get two elite talent, you're going to get an A. I don't care what you do the rest of the draft, you're going to get an A. The Atlanta Falcons, the fact that they took Michael Penix at 8, and no one is arguing whether they think he's a talent. That's not what this ever was about. Is there risk? Of course there's risk. There's risk with everybody, but maybe a hair more with him because of the crazy injuries he's had. He's also 24. He's not 21. So, if you're going to sit a guy for a few years and start him at 27 or whatever, wait till Kirk Cousins is done. It was the absolute shocker of the night. Not only was it the shocker of the night, I looked real quickly the day after, and I think if Penix was taken by the Falcons at 8 before the draft, he was 66-1. And if you got him in this like a month ago, it was 100-1.
That's crazy.
To go to Atlanta at 8.
So I can't sit here and say I don't understand what they're trying to do, because I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to layer this thing at the most important position and have a succession plan in place for a guy that's in his mid to late 30s coming off an Achilles injury. And if at some point in time, whether it's 2026, 2027, whatever it's going to be, you could drop Michael Penix in there with the young playmakers that they have, and away they go. Fine. I just think the timing of this is a complete mess based off of the bag you just gave Kirk Cousins. Like, if we're in year two of this deal with Kirk Cousins, I'd be like, okay, I understand that, but you just handed the guy 4 for 180, $100 million guaranteed through the 2025 season, and you've got this guy, as you mentioned, AR, and Penix, who is in his mid-20s. Come May 8th, he's going to turn 24, and I heard their front office, one of their front office members, saying that this may be a 4 or 5 year plan to have Michael Penix just sit on the sideline. And so you're talking about maybe 29, 30 years old before he starts for the Atlanta Falcons. They're trying to take a page out of the Green Bay book. I think that's what they're trying to do here. But on the Green Bay side of things, they miscalculated. They thought Aaron Rodgers was done. They figured, hey, we got to get this thing rolling sooner rather than later. We got to go find Jordan Love. And then Rodgers went on to win an MVP or two. And now we know the rest is history for Green Bay, that they did hit on Jordan Love. But maybe in that window of time when you did have Aaron Rodgers playing at a high level, if you took in a better offensive player or a better defensive player in the draft, who knows what that could have done for Green Bay. So that's just my beef with this, because you start to hear now that Arthur Blank signed off on this. The ownership group was on board, that everybody was on board with this. But when you have a guy in Kirk Cousins, this is now your window, similar to what we talked about with the Jets last year. Like, I wouldn't have understood if the Jets wouldn't drafted a quarterback in the first or second round when you just brought in Aaron Rodgers. Get right now talent around these guys. And I just thought they could have went with a defender, maybe an offensive lineman, another playmaker to help not only Kirk Cousins, but the team as a whole. That way you can elevate your floor as a team instead of having this kind of hovering story over your head over the next couple of years. Cause to me, that's all it's going to be, is now a distraction. And then as soon as Kirk Cousins has a couple bad games or bad stretch of games, whatever it's going to be, we know what the conversation is going to turn into. So they created a problem for themselves. And I hate when teams do that.
They had Matt Ryan for a long time, and they got close, very close, and they probably should have won it, and they didn't. And Matt Ryan goes away, and then the Mariota, Ritter, Taylor Heineke experiment, you know. And so were they desperate? Yeah. So they went out and paid Kirk Cousins, a 36-year-old guy, off a ripped Achilles. That's a gamble.
Yeah.
It really is. And so I said this on Friday. I would have been better. They would have been better off if they went to the podium and were honest. I know that you don't have to be, but if they just said, guys, we have a lot of faith that we paid a great quarterback, but we have to be, at least we have to address the obvious. He is coming off a very serious injury. Now, we're confident. We've talked to the doctors. We've seen him. He's passed physicals. We know what we're getting, but nobody really knows from week to week what's going to happen. When we got to 8, the offers we were considering, we felt, didn't outweigh the talent that was sitting there. And so we decided to pick him because of those two reasons: that we have an aging quarterback off an injury who we hope is everything we dreamed he'll be, and that's why we paid him. But if he isn't, we've got the ultimate insurance policy and a guy that we felt was so high valued at 8 for us on our board that we were true to our board. If they say that, we can all disagree with it, but at least we can respect it. They kept selling us on this, well, you know, 6 quarterbacks went in the top 12. No, the other 5 were teams that didn't have what you had.
Right.
So that's fine. I hope it works for them. I like Atlanta. I think they're ready to go, and I think they're worried. I think they're worried that on any given snap, our guy can have an Aaron Rodgers moment. And he's already coming off one. So that's kind of where we are. And I think that it's one of those things that they must not have been able to. They must either really wanted him, or they got on the phone to the Vikes and the Broncos and the Raiders and said, okay, let's hear your best pitch. What do you got? And they all were like, you're bluffing.
Yeah.
You're not taking him.
I think they were a little worried about your team potentially scooping up, you know, Michael Penix, if he would have got to 10 or that 11, 12 window. I know you guys went up to 10 to get J.J. McCarthy, but I wonder how you guys felt about Michael Penix. And when it came down to Penix or J.J. McCarthy, and did Atlanta have any intel on you guys possibly liking Michael Penix? And if they waited or traded down with the team, you guys could have maybe scooped up Penix before Atlanta. Because I was thinking, too, like, if you liked Penix, you... I mean, obviously they loved him, but maybe they could have traded down a little bit, maybe gone past the Bears at 9. That's what I'm saying. They didn't want to take the risk. That's the point. You couldn't take the risk for maybe Denver or Minnesota coming up to take Penix if he's your guy.
I'm buying that they didn't do this because they liked him. I think they did this because they loved him.
I agree.
And they felt like he's the best insurance policy on the board, because there were ways out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just reluctantly take Penix at 8. You have to really believe.
Right.
And like you said, they loved him so much, they probably didn't want anybody else to have him.
Right.
And this is where they are. And like I said, they're coming off of trying to fix the quarterback position with the last three guys, Mariota, Ritter, and Heinicke. Mm-hmm. And I don't... You go back through the Atlanta, I mean, yes, the Michael Vicks, the Jeff Georges years ago, and Matt Ryan. And they were so fortunate that Matt Ryan turned out to be what he was. But remember, they drafted him 3 overall. He should have worked out, and he did. And now they've got the ultimate insurance policy, but it's the age thing that doesn't line up. That's it. It's not Jordan Love at 21 or Rodgers even at 21 when the Packers took him. Listen, the Packers went through the same thing with Favre. They knew what they had. You know, you had a good point about, you know, them moving on from Rodgers, but look how, you know, what Rodgers still was. Well, the Packers knew what they had in Rodgers when they still had Favre, and Favre was still playing at a decent level. He just was toying with retiring every other minute. So they moved on from Favre because they knew what they had in Rodgers. I think they moved on from Rodgers because they knew what they felt they had in Love.
Yeah.
And that's the gamble you take.
Yeah, and you mentioned this over, you know, the coming weeks going into the draft. These teams are aggressive now. You're just super aggressive at that position. And the guys that you mentioned, when it comes to Atlanta's history at that position, they don't want to go through another lull. They don't want to go through a 3, 4, 5-plus-year window of average to bad quarterback play, because we haven't heard much from Atlanta since the Matt Ryan year. So they're going to try to have the baton be handed from Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix at some point in time and continue, hopefully, a good success and a good run of good football down there in Atlanta. But yeah, this was the head scratcher for me, because I didn't know if Penix would go that high. I thought he'd go in the top 13. But yeah, when they when old Raj called his name at 8, yeah, the jaw hit the floor. That's for sure.
There's nothing more secure in the NFL right now, and this is where I'm going to take up for them for 10 seconds. There's nothing more secure in the NFL right now than knowing you are set up for a long run at quarterback in this era. So if you're going to defend them at all, that's the best defense.
And also, Eric, to add to that, look how many starting quarterbacks went down last year.
Yeah.
How many backup quarterbacks played in the NFL last year. So the Achilles thing for Kirk Cousins is a major question mark, but you just brought up a really good point. This is a long-term play that they feel like is going to work out for them, and we just got to sit back and see.
I said they can share parts with their quarterbacks now. You need a shoulder, he'll give it to you. You need forget Tommy John. They can just share parts together. Two guys can be like one man. That sounds about right. All right, when we come back, Tage Seth will get his opinion on the draft and who grades out the best. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The perfect ratio of sports talk, dogs, pro wrestling, and gambling advice.
It's science.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, I did want to mention real fast that Cade Stover went to the Texans. I mean, that's
H-Town.
He got his CJ connection again and all that. Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, if it comes out how much he got in the ear of and said, hey, they may already know, but that was... I thought that was a cool landing spot.
We know they listen to CJ. He wanted Tank Dell last year, and Tank Dell found his way to Houston. Some unfortunate news for Tank Dell coming out of the weekend. That's pretty scary, but yeah, that's hopefully he'll be okay.
Tate Seth is our guy from Sumer Sports, the data science site, and he co-hosts all the stats and schemes and plans and all that good stuff. And he's with us now on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Tage, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. That intro you guys have got me pumped up to talk ball with you guys today.
Yeah, it's there's a lot going on in Columbus OH right now, right? You got a national championship roster. You've got a team that certainly wants to parlay that into something this year in the expanded playoff. But let me hit you with your analytics from the draft. And when you kind of crunch the numbers, they're all using these charts now. They're all looking at value plays. Is there some outside of the Pennock stuff that we'll get to? What really jumped out to you on a team that either did really well or really flunked this thing?
So a team I thought that did really well were the Philadelphia Eagles. I think when you look at them and how they tied the record for the most amount of trades made in a single day of the draft, and also just kind of like the players they ended up selecting with Kenyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean to start off their draft. I thought it was a really impressive showing from Howie Roseman and their front office, because they got two top corners, which fit an area of need for them. But they also were trading for future picks, which I think teams happen to undervalue because they discount them too much. And so the Eagles really picked up on some extra thirds, some extra fourths that they'll be able to use next year. And I think, like, when you have job stability like Howie Roseman does, you're often able to do stuff like that. And I think that they really provided themselves with a lot of capital in the draft next year while getting some of the top players in this year's draft as well.
I was checking out some of your stuff over at Sumer Sports, and then I stumbled across a tweet just from a couple hours ago where you said Michael Hall Jr. in a Jim Schwartz defense could be fun to watch. Why do you think this is a nice draft pick by the Cleveland Browns, and why maybe the former Buckeye can be an impactful player for him?
I was really hoping that Michael Hall would stay in the area and end up getting drafted by the Browns, because he did fit a lot of the things that Andrew Berry likes to take in the draft. You look at him, he had a very high athletic score. We had him at 92nd percentile predictive athletic score, 21 years old. So I think, like, he fit the age requirement there as well. And then the graph that you're referring to, like, he was someone who didn't get a ton of sacks last year, which is less predictive of NFL performance, but he got a lot of pressures. And so he was getting into the backfield often, disrupting the quarterback and making them throw the ball quickly. And what was particularly impressive is his time to pressure. So how quickly he would get into the backfield was one of the best out of all the defensive tackles in this class. So I think he's going to fit in really well in the Browns defense. I'm excited to see how Jim Schwartz uses him. I think he could be a really good pass rusher on late downs and maybe even provide some run defense as well.
Tage Seth with us, Sumer Sports on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, I want to get your opinion on what the Bills did here and whether they spun this thing into maybe the best guy at that position. So they trade and they let the 49ers come up and take Ricky Pearsall from Florida, the receiver. And then the last pick of the first round was Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, another receiver. So that drops the Bills into the first pick of the second round, and they grab Keon Coleman, the receiver from Florida State. So of those three guys, did the Bills actually get this right, or would you have stayed there and taken one of those picks that went before them?
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think that when you look at the draft and the uncertainty of a lot of these players, and knowing how deep the wide receiver class was, especially in that area, back half of the first round into early second round, I do like how the Bills kept moving back, incrementally through the two trade backs to end up with Keon Coleman. I think when you look at Keon Coleman's advanced stats, they're, like, generally okay. Like, his separation is below average, and his production is about average out of these top receivers. But he's someone where the eye test is really keen on when you watch him, and you can see some of the contested catchability. Like, I think he can fit pretty well into the Bills' offense, where they already have Khalil Shakir to be their wide receiver too, and someone who's pretty productive. And so I think they're chasing that, like, true X type receiver that can be a bigger body. And so I didn't necessarily know if like Xavier Worthy, who the Chiefs ended up taking, was going to fit their offense as well as someone like Keon Coleman.
So hit us with your opinion on Michael Penix to Atlanta. I mean, that was kind of the story coming out of the draft. They hit Kirk Cousins with a bunch of money coming off an Achilles injury. Where do they go from there? Like, what do you think their plan is here with Michael Penix?
Yeah, I am glad the Michael Penix pick happened at number eight because it gave us a lot of content to talk about here. So when I look at the Michael Penix pick, it is a very interesting decision to me because you're right. Like they gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed because they prorated his signing bonus over the 4 years of his contract. Even in year three and year four of this contract, he's going to be getting at least $12.5 million guaranteed. So it really kind of ruins the value of having a rookie contract quarterback. Like I look at like a team like the Browns, and when they had Baker Mayfield on a rookie contract, think about all the players they were able to sign and how they revamped their offensive line. But like you're not going to be able to get that even if Michael Penix Jr. becomes a starter in his third year in the league. When you look at his age, 24 years old, by the time he could be a first-time starter, you know, he could be 26, 27 years old. Like, I think that's also an issue. I think the only justification for this pick I can think of, which I didn't particularly like this pick, but I think maybe from the Falcons' perspective, they think that the only way they won't win the division the next 2 years is if Kirk Cousins goes down. And they looked at the 2025 quarterback class, which is probably where they wanted to take a quarterback, and they saw that it was pretty weak relative to this year's quarterback class. So they thought that as long as they have a guy who can step in and play three or four games for Kirk Cousins if he ends up getting injured midseason so that they can still win the division, would be like the way to go. Like it still didn't make much sense to me because they had so many holes on their roster still. But like I guess if I had to tell Arthur Plank like why I made that pick, that's what I would say.
Yeah. All right, man. A lot of good stories. I'm sure you'll be writing about them and talking about them. We appreciate you jumping on, Tage. Thanks, man. Be well.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Tage Seth, Sumer Sports, NFL Data Science, on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, there's no real science in how you're feeling. If you woke up today, you're like, something's not right. You know, you're feeling tired, notice lack of motivation, can't get going. You've noticed weight gain and loss of muscle mass. Could all be signs of low testosterone levels. Don't wait. Find out. At Low T Center, they'll make it easy to get your levels checked. Simple blood test, on-site lab, results back in 25 minutes. Not your typical doctor's office. It's concierge medicine for men. Their physicians specialize in treating low T, and they customize treatment for each patient. And the experts at Low T Center have over a decade of experience. They'll help you. They've helped others. You want life-changing results. Most health insurance is accepted for treatment. And they also have very convenient options for treatment. Physician-monitored self-inject treatment for established patients. They're going to ship it right to your home every month without the need to come to the center for weekly visits. But right now is the time to strike. It's only $25 to get your T-level tested. Results back in 25 minutes. So just get back to being your best. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care. We come back. Party like a Rothstar next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Chops his serial killer eyes, and Reeser can grow a full beard before lunch. What can your friends do? Bishop and Friends.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
All right, my man. I'll let you lead off. Who knows? Maybe we'll have one of the same guys today.
Maybe so, because we're going to start with a man that plays basketball in Minnesota. Last name Edwards, first name Anthony, the newest member of the D-Generation X faction from WWE. If you missed that viral video, go catch that if you want a laugh. But Ant-Man, he brought out the shovel yesterday, AR, and buried KD, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. It was incredible. 6 of 7 in the fourth quarter for 16 points. The man ended up with 40 points in the game. He twisted both of his ankles in this game and still was out there bouncing around. It was wild. The kid is averaging 10.5 points per game in the fourth quarter so far throughout the playoffs. That's the most of any player. And when he was guarded by Bradley Beal, a man making $48 to $50 million a year, he cooked Bradley Beal 17 of 31 for 51 points when Bradley Beal was the primary defender. A star was born in this series against the Phoenix Suns. Anthony Edwards, a.k.a. Ant-Man, is here, and he ain't going anywhere. He's been partying like a rock star.
All right, I'm going to go to baseball. And I say this being honest, maybe the best pitcher you've never heard of.
Okay.
26-year-old Seattle Mariner George Kirby. He was about to be scratched for soreness before taking on Arizona on Saturday night. Soreness where? I'm going to assume it is arm or shoulder. Who knows? He carved his way through the D-backs for a dozen strikeouts over 7 scoreless. So that's a career high, 12 strikeouts. And the Mariners won again. So 3-1, they clinched their fourth straight winning series. He topped out at 99.3, his fastest pitch of the year. He extended his scoreless inning streak to 14 innings. Now, if you want to go back about 2 years ago when he was pitching against the Nats, he set an MLB record. What was that record, you ask? He threw 24 straight strikes to start a game. That's the most by any major league pitcher since 1988. Why do I say 88? Because that's the first year they started tracking pitches. His strikeout to walk ratio this year is 30-2 over 5 starts. His name is George Joseph Kirby, and he's the best guy you've never heard of.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
partying like a rock star right now.
You know how in fantasy football, AR, there's defenses you kind of avoid? Like if your players are going up against this defense. In fantasy baseball, if you got hitters going up against Kirby and the Mariners, if you got other options, you might as well play them, because my Reds learned that all too well just a couple series ago. That's a great one because he could absolutely spin it. Next guy for me is in the world of baseball as well. And I need all of you right now to all rise because the judge is back and he is finally piecing this thing together. It's happening. Aaron Judge is starting to cook. The dude's been a mess all year at the plate. Going into Saturday's game, Aaron Judge, arguably the best player in the sport, was batting .176. And then he woke up on Saturday morning. Maybe he had some of that beer cheese that they sell up there in Milwaukee, because I don't know what happened, but he figured it out. Because after Saturday, between Saturday and Sunday, he had 5 hits over the last 2 games, home runs on Saturday and Sunday, a handful of RBIs. Aaron Judge, I think, AR, is finally back. I could not believe what I was seeing from Aaron Judge the first handful of series in the season here. But now you've got a guy that, you know, when he is right, can rock the house with the best of them. Aaron Judge is back, and he's partying like a rock star.
All right, I'll go to hoops. And, you know, the Indiana Pacers lost the opener, and now they've reeled off 3 straight versus Milwaukee. I know Milwaukee is just they're done. They're a shell. They didn't have Lillard, they didn't have Giannis. But I do want to give the Pacers this. They made 22 three-pointers. They've been playing basketball a while in Indiana. That's the most they've ever had in a game. And so they were shooting the lights out, and they beat the Bucks, and now they're up 3-1 in the best of 7. They've won 3 straight, as I said, since losing that opener. And they're 7-2 this season against the Bucks. We're trying to avoid that first-round exit again. It looks like it's going to happen. And I think Halliburton had a career playoff high for the 2nd straight game. And I know this was, I said this last week, this was, they thought they could get through this round without breaking glass on Giannis. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen now. I don't even know whether he can go or not. But I watched him on the sideline watching this thing, and he was like despondent. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. So 22 three-pointers is a franchise record in a game for the Pacers. And you know they've had some good ones. Whether it's Tinsley or Paul George, Hill, Crozier, they've had some really good. Mike Dunleavy played there. Chuck Person was a hell of a three-point shooter. And we know about Reg. So I'm going to give it to the Pacers, partying like a rock star.
Love it. Last one for me. I'm going to New York. I'm going to New York because yesterday the New York Knicks went into Philly and stomped on the souls of the Philadelphia 76ers. And a man that played a large part in that was Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, 47 points, 10 assists, only one turnover in 43 minutes. The dude wasn't even playing that well in the first two games. First two games for Jalen Brunson, 16 for 55 from the field. That 47-point performance yesterday broke the franchise record for points in a single playoff game. I know down in Dallas, they got Kyrie Irving, and they feel like they've made up for this mistake. But they messed around and didn't want to play Jalen Brunson what he was worth, and they messed around, AR, and they found out. Because this dude is absolutely a force. He is leading the Knicks into promised lands that they haven't been to in years and years and years. But when you go into Philly, that atmosphere, and almost put up 50, you got to be on Party Like a Rock Star the next day. So Jalen Brunson, I see you, big dog. You're partying like a rock star.
Second round, absolute steal for them. And what's cool is his, you know, he grew up in NBA locker rooms when his father played for the Knicks. He actually played at a rival high school of ours. He went to Adlai Stevenson High School in northern Chicago. And he, you know, his dad was in a, I think his dad played for the Knicks when Tibbs was an assistant.
He's on the staff now?
Yeah. And so there's a lot going there. Real quick one for me. When you get a 6'4 skater named Val Nichushkin, 11 years ago, he was selected by the Dallas Stars in the first round, 10th overall. Back in 2019, he went like 60 games without scoring a goal, so they waived him. Well, Maddie, what happens? Will this guy come back to haunt? Mm. He did. Colorado signed him. They kept re-signing him. In fact, he signed a $50 million deal with the Avs, won a cup with them in 22. So since the waiving by the Stars, he has scored almost 100 goals. Mm. He did go into the player assistance program, came out now in 24. Here he is, and he had a playoff hattie on Sunday night to put the Avs up 3-1 on the 52-win Winnipeg Jets. So Val Nichushkin is partying like a rock star. All right, that's in the books. First hour done. We'll come back. The Brownies, we'll check out their draft. They did pick a receiver. Is he a good hands man? We'll tell you what to expect next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2-for-2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program. The baller from Bedford, Tyvis Powell, 133. Get his take on the Brownies. We'll talk about them now as well. You were gone on Friday, Maddie.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I do want to tell you that our little Baker's Dozen contest.
Oh, our mini mock?
Our mini mock.
How did we do?
Well, you know, we decided to cut it off at 13 because it would be boring for the listener. And we also wanted to make sure we included at least the Raiders because we thought that was a pivot point of the draft where they were picking at 13. And we didn't see any point in going much further. So I'm going to tell you now, we were gifted the first three. I know that the Patriots might have made a trade if they were offered enough, but they wound up sticking there. So I said to you on Friday or Thursday, it's like standardized testing. We put our name on the test. They gave us a few points.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Caleb, Jaden, Drake, Marvin.
We got those.
That first four of the 13, of course.
Got them. Okay.
Now, I got a little more bold with the trade talk, and it backfired on me early. And because I had my Vikes taking JJ, but I thought they'd have to go up to five to do it. Mm-hmm. They didn't. And so I had JJ at five, so I get a red X there. You did have Alt.
Going to five.
Going to the Chargers.
Harbaugh did what Harbaugh does, and he's building his team from the trenches out. And I believe the Chargers circled back around and selected a wide receiver at some point in the draft. I just cannot remember who that was, but I'm pretty sure they did get him a receiver, I want to say.
Ladd McConkey, right?
Yes, there you go.
Who I thought the Bills were going to take with the first pick of the second round, and the Chargers wound up getting it the very next pick.
Okay, so they got Ladd McConkey up there. Yeah. So he went with the what everybody is saying is going to be a great left tackle in the league. And people were looking at him when he got drafted. AR, he's not a flashy guy, just quarter zip on, had some khakis on.
Joe?
Yeah, and that's how you know he's going to be a great offensive lineman.
Let me ask you this.
Because of that. I was like, I kind of agree.
And because everything is a blur to me, and CB might remember this. Was it Joe Alt's girlfriend who was all like,
yes,
deer in the headlights after he got picked, like he may not want to have gone to the Chargers?
Who knows? I don't know, but that was her. I'm pretty sure it was her.
Check that out and give me your analysis.
They were in the cabin, weren't they? That like
Cherish the cabin?
No, it looked like a log cabin, and it was almost like they were in.
And, like, this is the perfect offensive lineman. He's in a log cabin. The dude's wearing a quarter zip and just some plain khakis. Like, he's ready to go. That's how you want your offensive lineman to look.
Log cabin. I don't remember that part. All I remember is, and I'll pull it up because I can give you guys a little play-by-play. So Joe Alt gets picked, Notre Dame offensive tackle, a lot of beef there, and the Chargers take him 5 overall with their first pick, and they beef up the trenches. When he gets picked, they cut to, well, ESPN or NFL Network, as soon as Raj made the selection, they go right to the highlights. So I'm going to have to find the, and then they cut to him. I don't know, maybe she just was like nervous and excited, and there's a lot of clapping going on. You're right, there are some fake birch trees back there.
Yeah,
but
I don't even know if that's the best one of the first round, because if you saw the Olu Fashanu one where the Jets took him, it looked like mom was kind of boxing out the girlfriend a little bit.
She was off to the right a little bit, trying to get in on the mix, and mom was kind of hitting her a little bit of a sideways people's elbow. Like, this is the fam right now. This is the bloodline. Like, get out of here.
Nobody really knows what to do. I think it was the Bo Nix pick by Denver where they were clapping, and then here's the thing, and I'll get your opinion on this. If you're getting picked and it's mom, dad, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What is protocol there?
Oh, the parents.
All right.
The parents get the first embrace.
Not the girlfriend.
No.
What if I upgrade that to fiance? Or even wife?
Well, if it's fiance or wife, I think we really spread the arms out wide.
Group hug?
We get all three. We get a group hug with everybody. If you're at girlfriend status, for me, what I would do is, mom, pops, this is our moment. You guys paid for all the juice boxes and, you know, animal crackers and graham crackers that I ate my entire career. Like, you guys get this moment with me first, and then we'll get to my girl.
Bo Nix had to, like, say, dad,
come on,
shake my hand here. Like, it was interesting. But I'm wondering how mom would feel about that if son goes to girlfriend first.
You got problems, I think.
You can't do it you can't be upset on national TV, but later on, the kid is probably saying, mom, what's wrong? I just got drafted in the first round. Well, you did, you know.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Mamas ain't going to be too happy, though. I know my mama wouldn't. My mom's got a mean side eye. You know, read my mom's face.
But I mean, what does it say to that girl, though, Matt, if you go to her first? I mean, that you're in forever. I mean, she superseded mom. She knows where she is now in your life. They have their lives. You're starting yours.
That's an issue.
I'm playing defense attorney for you right now. If you go to that girl first before mom, that you've got that's it.
I wouldn't want that static coming from my mom personally. I want no smoke with my mom. No issues whatsoever.
Yeah, that sweet potato pie you like so much.
Yeah, gone. Good luck.
And not only that, I burned the recipe, so she's not even getting it.
My mom, she won't even share some of my grandma's recipes with me to this day. I don't know why.
You got to keep that in the family. Grandma's got to have a cookbook.
She does. Her sister has it in Baltimore, but my mom has all of the recipes here in Ohio. But when I poke and prod to get the fried chicken recipe from my mom, she won't give it to me. She'll make it all day long whenever I want it. But it's not a hand-me-down item just yet in the Hayes household. I don't know why.
Well, she clearly doesn't trust you that it would stay in the family.
Or maybe she doesn't trust me in the kitchen with hot oil.
That could be true. All right, so now if you add Alt to the equation, you went 5 for 5 and I went 4 for 5.
Okay.
Then Neighbors gets picked by the Giants.
This is when I got nervous when they were on the clock.
We got him.
Because I didn't know if they were going quarterback or not. That was one of those teams, right, where it was like, you know, Daniel Jones is coming off the ACL injury.
And they had their pick of the litter because no one jumped them.
Yeah.
I mean, they had their pick of those three that are gone, everybody else after that. So we both got Neighbors.
Okay.
So now I hate to say this to you, but now you're 6-6, and I'm 5-6.
Yeah, but after this.
Can you stay perfect?
No.
And I decided to go with.
You nailed this, I think, right?
No, I didn't.
I thought you had.
I went to the Giants, and I felt they were going to take. Oh, no.
You guys,
it was Tennessee.
Yeah, you nailed this, right?
No, I had Tennessee taking Alt.
Oh.
He was already gone, and you had my guys coming up
to, get
to trade with Tennessee to take Penix.
Yeah.
So we both take an X there.
I'll give you, I mean, I want to give you 7.
How can
it's
you?
An offensive lineman.
Like, I know, but I said it would be Alt.
See, if I was
they
a teacher.
They went with Latham.
If I was a teacher, I'd give it to you. I give you the point.
You did this later when we just said
O-line. Are you in a like a September grading scale or like a May grading scale?
Where it's I'll take it if you'll give it to me.
You're a little bit more lenient with it come May.
I would be the lenient teacher.
If I did some extra credit?
I would have given that to AR since he got it off.
All right, well, I gave myself an X, and you got an X.
Yep.
Now, next, we both went for Atlanta. We both went with Turner.
On my sheet, I have pass rusher or trade out, which they didn't either, so I get an X.
They take the quarterback.
Yeah.
9, you got a Dunze. I went back to the trade. I thought the Bears would load up with picks, and I had the. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I did have a Dunze. My bad. I have a Dunze written down.
Mm-hmm. All right, because you know what? I think I talked you into
talked
it.
Maybe you talked me into
it. You came
it,
over to the other side with me late.
Okay, I do have that. And then you go to the 10th pick, which was owned by the Jets. We both got that wrong because we both went Bowers.
They traded out with you guys, right?
Yeah, traded with the Vikes. Mm-hmm. So we both got that wrong. Next was the Chargers back on the clock, right?
No.
Oh, no.
Originally, that was your team prior to the draft. Mm-hmm. So in my mini mock, this was me, AR, trading. I had Tennessee picking at 11 with the trade I made.
I put offensive line.
Yeah, I had best alignment on the board next to the Titans on my sheet here on the mini mock at 11, which is wrong because the Jets came up. This is where it gets funky because in real life, the Jets, right, traded down
to 11.
The Vikes picked
10, the Jets picked 11. They did take an offensive lineman, though.
So I had an offensive lineman going at 11, just
but we didn't think it would be with them. And I didn't either. I thought it would be the Chargers. So we'll give ourselves that.
I'll take it.
And then at 12, this one I did get right.
You had Bo Nix.
I had Bo Nix. You had him taking McCarthy, who was already gone. Yeah. And we could give you a half point for a quarterback.
I'll take it.
And then the last pick we both got wrong at 13 because now the Raiders have to make the pick. They took Bowers, who we'd already had been taken.
Yeah.
I had Arnold, the corner, and you had
Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
So they went and got Brock Bowers, which I actually like, man. You pair him with Devontae Adams. That could be fairly interesting. But yeah, the Denver, because you were asking me during the break, like, how does Denver truly feel about this? Like, obviously, they're going to come out publicly and say, we love Bo Nix. He's our guy, yada, yada, yada. But you were laying out just what
they're... They picked QB6 at 12 overall.
Yeah.
Because their room sucks and they needed a quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to say it. Like, do I know for a fact, I said this to you 3 weeks ago, that he was the poor man's Drew Brees. I thought Denver would be interested in him based on the fact they didn't have the ammo to go up and they desperately needed a quarterback. I can't kill him for it because this is absolutely what they needed.
And he's a guy too in Bo Nix that he's played a ton of football at the collegiate level, so maybe that combination of the seasoning that he has both at Oregon and the really great years, I mean statistically at least, that he put up at Oregon the last couple of seasons, maybe he can connect with Sean Payton, who I know a lot of people think highly of when it comes to offensive guru type of things.
Get the ball out.
Yeah, man. Get it out to your playmakers quickly. Like the frame of he and Drew Brees, it's kind of similar, right? I don't know if the measurements are exact, but to my eye, at least it feels like those guys are similar in stature. So maybe he will be able to hop on the train, the moving train here and help out Sean Payton. But you're right. I mean, what they were crawling out of with the mess of that Russell Wilson contract, and it seems like, you know, the relationship between Russ and Sean Payton wasn't very friendly, especially towards the back half of that. They needed a reset with something. I don't know how high Bo Nix's ceiling is in the NFL. I don't think it's that high, but maybe he can come into the league, be one of those guys with a safe floor, and you combine a quarterback with a safe floor with a guy like, you know, Sean Payton. Maybe that can elevate everybody else and put them in good position, similar to maybe what we're seeing right now with San Francisco, right?
Like 5-year starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you got a guy who is mature. The only problem is that 30% of his passes are behind the line of scrimmage.
I don't love that.
Now, if you can get him in Alvin Kamara or somebody like he had with the Saints, then all of a sudden you may have something there.
They got Javonte out there. He's a pretty good running back. Javonte Williams, to your point, though, I don't know if he's Alvin Kamara in the pass game, but I think there's a chance for him to get in there with a solid run game with Javonte. Maybe that will help him out. It's play action and all that stuff.
A lot of people believe that the tape doesn't lie with him, that he's good and that he's prepared to attack the league because he's, and I think he's maybe, I don't know how tall Drew Brees is, but Nix looks like measured out at 6'2", 214.
I think Drew is
he's,
tall,
he's not a member of the small hands club. So, and he I think he went to mom first before the girlfriend, if my memory serves me correctly.
Smart, smart man.
And then dad was like just caught up in the moment, and he had to kind of go
get up.
Yeah,
let's go, man.
I just got picked.
The old Google machine, AR, tells me Drew Brees is a clean 6 foot even.
So that's probably like, what, 5'11 then?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Cleats and a helmet, he might be 5'9.
Right. So there,
maybe add that,
there may be some, you squint hard enough, maybe you'll see a little Drew Brees in Bo
Nix. Actually, I'll tell you what, we have the perfect ammo on this. When we went to Radio Row years ago, it was like taking James home, right, to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're in the Mall of America. We're doing the show, myself, James Laurinaitis, in the Mall of America. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Best Radio Row ever. And I think, and Beamer's there, and we're there, and Drew Brees rolls by, former teammate. Now, we didn't get him on the show. I don't know. He was busy. Okay. So, you know, I'm probably 5'11.
Yeah.
So, actually, this, we have the perfect evidence. Yeah. How tall is Drew Brees?
Probably a clean 6 foot.
Probably clean 6 foot.
Yeah.
Because we're all standing right together.
He's got you by a hair.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Operative word, a hair. Yes. Yeah, so, that's it. Amazing. All right. We're going to come back. And we'll mention the receiver. We'll give you the ones the Brownies took. And Dallas, well, they must believe in this guy because they didn't take a replacement in the draft. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, welcome back.
You know, AR, Jason hit us up on Twitter, and he heard us talking about the draft dynamics with the fam and, you know, maybe the girlfriend, wife, whoever it may be at the draft party. And he says the power rankings are dad, mom, wife, fiance, and girlfriend. I think I'm on board with that, in that order. Dad and mom are, that's kind of a wash. 1A, 1B, you know, they're on the same level.
Jay, love you, man, and I love that list, but I'm going to make one amendment.
Okay.
I'm going to say it depends what room you're in, but I have to have the dog in there.
Okay, fair enough. Now, for you.
Like, it's honestly, it really bothered me. And the fact that my team took him, like, there has to be something, and it's not when they took the first shot. It's when he got picked. I know everyone's excited, but I'm going to show you this video when he gets picked.
Yeah.
And you're going to watch this poor dog asking anyone to acknowledge
it. Help me.
Help and I'm some like, character questions with Mr. J.J. McCarthy.
See, I think, CB, honestly.
No, he's actually a really good kid, I hear.
For AR, the dog is probably number one in the draft celebration right
now. If they would have pet the dog during the little lead up, I would have said, fine, I get it. You get picked. Your mind goes other places. So he's got dad, mom, wife, fiance, girlfriend.
Yeah.
I don't have any problems with that.
But where does the dog slot in for you in amongst those rankings from our guy, Jason? Where would the dog be slotted?
Dad, mom, dog.
Fair. Okay.
Wife, fiance, girlfriend.
I thought it'd be number one, honestly.
Well, it could be.
It'd be in your arm. If you had a dog small enough to pick up, that dog would never leave your lap, knowing
I
you.
Just feel like it was a big fail. I'll get over it.
I don't know if you will.
I think
it's your guy now.
Actually, here's how I'm going to get over it. CB, and don't let me forget this. You have to play Xavier Leggett's interview at some point.
Oh, my God.
We have to play it. You don't have to do it now. We can kind of tease it a little bit. Let it lie. I mean, this is a combination of like Cajun Man and like Kevin Hart does an incredible skit on SNL where this voice reminds me of it, but we'll play it.
Did you see Kim Kardashian on there this weekend? I saw it when I was scrolling through the TV guide that she was on SNL. I don't know if that was an old episode or not, but apparently, I guess she hosted this weekend. I was curious to get your take on how
old
she did. Was it
old? Okay. I looked at it. I think it was from March.
I got you. Okay.
Kardashian was hosting?
I thought so. I thought it was Kim Kardashian and who was the performer?
I didn't see her name.
Halsey? Am I saying that right, Sleepy?
Oh, Halsey.
Halsey.
Yeah.
That's what I saw on the old TV guy. Could have been super old, like I'm saying.
I think it is old, but okay. I would have liked and seen Halsey because I think she did a duet with actually Eminem one time at SNL that was really good. I don't know if that was that.
Okay. But yeah, back to Leggett. Right. Everybody's falling in love with this dude just based off the accent alone.
Now, the Brownies took Jamari Thrash out of Louisville, and they took him at 157 overall in the fifth round. And if you watched him play at Louisville, I mean, he can go. He's not a big dude. Slot guy. Runs those slants. I'd have to look at his drop rate. I don't think it's horrible. I mean, he's a burner.
So it was kind of skewed late last season because he did play half the season with a broken hand.
Right.
Ooh.
And they were talking about that late about his inconsistency. But that is the ultimate issue if that was it. But Maddie, he gets to his spot. I've seen him catch the ball in traffic before. And by the way, he's not a burner. But he's football fast, and I think they got a guy here in the fifth round.
Yeah, and I like the situation that he's going into, right, where he doesn't have to be the dude right away. Like, it can take time for him to develop. We know what they have up top with their big three pass catchers, if you will, right, with Amari and Joku and now Jerry Jeudy after paying him decent money. You can infuse him into this system slowly, and maybe that pop that you're talking about can show itself as a bit of a speedster for the Browns down the road, because we know just a couple years ago they took a swing at a guy in Anthony Schwartz and it did not work. He was coming out of Auburn.
That's true.
Was supposed to be that guy to take the top off the defense every now and again, and I understand what they're trying to create here, because with their power run game and how defenses have to absolutely respect Chubb and the offensive line the Browns have thrown out over the last couple of years, you got to maybe bring down an extra defender, safety, linebacker, whatever it may be. And with guys like this combined with the Nick Chubbs of the world, man, that can really stretch out a defense and put you in a kind of a pick your poison type of scenario down and down out. So hopefully this dude will figure it out sooner rather than later and be a key contributor there, because they've been swinging for this type of guy. And if he is that guy, man, this offense can really open up and go to another level.
I've seen him do it. We got to see him at Louisville, and I'll tell you, he's got physical ability. He's not a big dude. He's like, he's 6 feet, and he's like 190. But I'm telling you, he's a football player. I hope he works out for them. That would be something big.
Yeah.
I mean, but I've seen him catch, you know, the ball in some very tight windows, and he can get behind the defense, and it'll be very interesting. One of the weaknesses on his scouting report allows throws to get on top of him and turn into drops. Well,
so not a hands catcher, more of a body guy.
Kinda,
when they say they get on top of him,
lacks the hand strength, right? That you can't catch it with your hands as much, meaning to finish your catches through contact. That's a big deal. You know, back in the day, you had those little the hand cruncher with the little coil and everything. You know, you see guys in class
pop it.
That's
man.
What you need to get him, CB. Why don't you send him a little draft gift?
Yeah, get those Popeyes.
Yeah, only if his hand's healed. I mean, I want to make sure he's all good to go.
You know what else was a killer was that rice bucket. I don't know if you guys ever did that.
Come pleasure.
Like, you had a rice bucket. My baseball coaches, shout out to Coach Turnbull and Thomas, they would have us a big bucket full of rice, and you try to work your way down all the way through the rice, and your forearms will be on fire if you do that for about 30 seconds to a minute. So this pick, I think, CB, David Bell, Cedric Tillman, you're put on notice just a little bit, right? I don't know if your job is completely, you know, taken now by this draft pick, but you guys got to go. A couple third-round picks over the last couple of years. Bell and Tillman got to show the Browns why they were brought into Cleveland sooner rather than later.
All right, let's do this quickly. So the Carolina Panthers, with pick 32, last pick of the first round, took Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. So, but by the way, they traded into the first round to get him. He broke out last year, and he kind of impressed everybody. He's strong. He's got speed, and he always won downfield. Like, this was a big deal, and they traded up to get him. So they add to Deontay Johnson to try to give Bryce Young something. So he was all excited, and here is his interview.
Woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up ready, man. I got a call right after I got drafted. They was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told them I'm going to be ready.
I saw the emotion in your face in the video, but what were those emotions?
Overly excited my whole time, and I really trying to hold my tears in for real, man. I told my folks I wasn't going to crack. I was trying to be a tough guy. But, man, I was really over excited.
That's I love it. I love the I want to hear every one of his press conferences this year. Like, I'm a fan. Just off that.
Sometime in the next day, I will grab the Kevin Hart skit from SNL.
You can play them together.
It's the same voice. It's unbelievable.
That's great,
man. He went to high school in South Carolina and then wound up playing at South Carolina, and now he's drafted by Carolina.
That's awesome.
So it's all home for him. So that's why how comfortable he feels. All right, Tyvis Powell up next. We'll get him to grade the brownies and more. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice present Breaking Down the Browns with Tyvis Powell.
All right, he's the baller from Bedford. He's our guy, Tyvis Powell. And he's with us on the Brian Heat and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. TP, how are we feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling really good. How you guys doing today?
We're doing just fine, man. Got my Iceman back in the saddle and breaking down drafts and doing all this good stuff. Listen, the Browns had to make the best of what they had, right? I mean, it wasn't like trying to grade them off very few picks, but you can never, it doesn't seem you can go too wrong when you're drafting a guy like Mr. Hall, Michael Hall Jr., at 54 overall. Now, we know the trade with Deshaun. It's still very much a work in progress. I think they finally get a first rounder back next year. But give me your take on going Buckeye Wolverine 1-2 with their picks.
You know, I thought there was a, first of all, I love the Mike Hall signing or draft. I thought Mike Hall would fit perfectly. You know, you think about Jim Schwartz and what he does with defensive tackle, he usually turns them into Pro Bowls. So that D-line is the engine, is what they call it. They are the engine of that defense, and I think Mike Hall will fit in great. You get to be alongside of Miles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Tomlinson, like that's like stealing. Like a lot of sacks should just fall in your lap, to be honest with you. So I love that there. And, you know, Zach Venter, although he was a Wolverine, I will say that he was a really good offensive lineman. I got to watch him and be mad at him because he used to block really well for the Wolverines. And I know he's a physical guy. And that's going to allow the Browns some flexibility because obviously right now they're paying both of their guards $12 million, which is absurd for a guard position. Both of them, paying both of them $12 million, at some point you got to get off of that and move on. And I think Zach Venter allows them the ability to do so.
T, what do you think about the Jamari Thrash, you know, acquisition in the draft? Another wide receiver, obviously coming out of Louisville, had a solid career. How do you think he can contribute maybe in year number one?
Well, it's going to be tough. Obviously, you know, you look at the thing, you look at the wide receivers, and you think they're pretty set there. But, you know, you go up in camp, man, and you flash, you think you got to use that speed of yours. We're still looking for that guy to stretch the field. You know, you thought Elijah Moore would be that guy. That's not the case. Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper are good, but they're more route runners. So, if, you know, Thrash can come in there and stretch the field a little bit. I think he ran like a 4.4 or something like that. So, if he can use that and stretch the field, I think he can have some value there, because I still think Deshaun needs that deep threat.
Between the guys that are already in that room, David Bell and Cedric Tillman, where are you at with their games? Like, do you think either one of those guys are ready to contribute at a decent level?
I think they're both different type of receivers. You know, I think that David Bell is more your possession receiver, which every team needs a good possession receiver, a guy that can go in and catch it through traffic. You remember when he first got with the Browns, the number one thing that everybody said was, this guy catches everything. So I think that he could still contribute there. You know, he was able to get his first couple of touchdowns with Joe Flacco towards the end of the season last year. I think he finished with 3 touchdowns. So I think maybe that's what he needed. He needed to experience some success on that level to try, and hopefully he builds on it. As far as Cedric Tillman goes, listen, they moved off of DPJ for him, you know, and the only reason that they moved off of DPJ for him is because they felt comfortable. And the one thing that DPJ had that was vital was that he was a great down-the-field blocker. You know, you talk about when Nick Chubb used to get those explosive runs and, you know, some of these running backs used to be able to take it to the house. It was because DPJ did such a great job of getting on-body blocking on those DBs down the field that it kept them from walking down these running backs. So, you know, Cedric Tillman could have some value there. He's still the biggest receiver I think we have. So for those jump balls, he's just going to have to dominate that. He's still got to be able to throw it up, and he's got to be the guy that goes over DBs and make plays.
Tyvus Powell with us as we break down the Browns, the Buckeye National Champ with us, and former Brownie himself. Let me take you back just briefly, TP, to Michael Hall. I'd heard some people talking in the draft like how they felt like he was a very good player, obviously, but a bit undersized, and they thought he needed some work in the run game. But if he can attract some blockers away from Garrett and Smith on passing downs, then he will have done a very good job. But give me your take on that, the work in the run game, the undersized part of it. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I think he can use some work in the run game for sure. I mean, if you want to be a complete defensive tackle, yes, you got to be able to stop the run. When you think of defensive tackles, the first thing you think of is run stoppers. But I think that's why they got a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson. You know, that's why they got a guy like Siaka Ika. Those guys are good at stopping the run, but they don't have a lot of production from the passing side. So everybody knows you use 2 defensive tackles. So I think obviously he'll be in more on obvious pass situations, 3rd and long, 2nd and long, stuff like that, where it's an obvious pass situation. But I think he's protected in that run game. Listen, at the end of the day, just don't get blown off the ball. Just stand there, hold your ground. If you do that, keep your linebackers free, let them flow around and make plays. That's your job as a defensive tackle, and I think he has all the ability in the world to be able to do that. So I think he'll be successful in that aspect there. Obviously, he's going to put on a little bit more weight. If he takes it serious enough, he'll get a nutritionist. They'll have him eating right and all of those things. And I think we'll see the best version of Mike Hall. All Jim Schwartz requires out of his defensive tackle is to get upfield. Just get upfield, and we'll figure the rest out. And I think he can do that very easily.
6 draft picks for the Brownies, T. None of them running backs. Your mind now when it comes to the Browns running back situation. Where is it at?
Well, I think that they looked at Nick Chubb, and I think he's probably going to start this year off on the PUP, meaning he's probably going to miss the first 4 games, which makes it a valid for them going out and getting Dante Foreman. I think he is that short yardage, goal line situation, big physical running back that you don't have. I think they're comfortable with Jerome Ford. You know, he did start to come along towards the end of last season, so I think that they're comfortable in that. At the end of the day, this team is going to be more of a passing team anyway. They're going to be a heavy 11 personnel team, meaning that there'll be 1 tight end, 1 running back in the game, and they're going to throw the ball. So you think about the running back that they have. Jerome Ford, Nyheim Hines, Pierre Strong, all of these guys do what? Catch the ball well out of the backfield. I think that they'll be heavy in that, but you still got to be able to run between the tackles. Their run game, their genius run game coordinator is now with the Tennessee Titans. You know, Bill Callahan was the guy that was in charge of creating that running game and making it what it was. Now that he's gone, You know, maybe Ken Dorsey takes this thing over and we become more of a passing team anyways, which is where we were trending to anyways. So I think that that's why you see them not addressing the running back position like you thought they would, because they're thinking we got the guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And Jerome Ford has shown he can take on the workload. And if it's short yard or goal line, we got Dante Foreman.
Tyvus, former defensive MVP of the championship game back in 15. You hung on. You got in there undrafted. Give us a little take on what that challenge is for these guys, some Buckeyes or some players that didn't get drafted but get to choose their chance to try to latch on to an NFL team. What's that like?
It's competitive. Obviously, you go in, if you go undrafted, you choose the destination that you want to go to. So a lot of people usually typically look at the roster before they get there and be like, oh, they don't have that many safeties, so I'm going to go there and have a better chance of making this roster. You know, so you did your due diligence there, but at the end of the day, you got to go out there and make plays. I always say you make one play a day, it'll keep the Grim Reaper away, meaning the guy who comes to get you and tell you, bring your playbook upstairs. If you make a play a day, you won't see that guy. So my advice to those guys is to go out there and play football, play hard. Make sure you get in good with the special teams coordinator, because that right there is the number one way to make the 53-man roster. It's going to come down to, you know, if you're not the starter, the next thing is, well, how are you valuable? You know, are you a guy that's in the rotation? If you're not in the rotation, why do we need to carry you? You need that special teams coordinator to be like, I need this guy on special teams. He is that good. He's that different. He's that much of a difference maker. So my advice to all of those young guys is get real tight with that special teams coordinator. Make sure you take that serious, because that's going to allow you the chance and the opportunity to continue your career in the NFL.
Good advice. Great advice from a man who's been there in all walks of life. Thanks, my man. Hope we see you soon. Be well.
And I'll see you on Wednesday, Matty Ice.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Tyvus Powell with us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. All right, guys, if you've noticed a lack of energy, motivation, drive, it could be low T. You've probably thought about it. You probably thought what your number is, where you land on that scale. It's time to find out. You can do it at lowtcenter.com by booking your appointment. $25, 25 minutes. You get those results, and you're on the way to answering the questions you've had, or at least the curiosity of where you land, because testosterone therapy can help you get back to your best. And there's no better time to start than this spring. Low T Center is where I got my levels checked, and they make it very quick and easy. You'll walk in, take the simple blood test, and like I said, get your results in about 25 minutes. So if you often feel tired, you've noticed some weight gain, you've lost some muscle mass, you may have low T levels. So go to lowtcenter.com now and book the appointment online. It's that easy. You'll have the hard part done. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. Buckeye Bulletin up next. A little Back to the Future. A Buckeye back into the portal. We'll tell you who next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin time. Remember when I said the portal, it's not a one-way, it's not like a water slide where you're climbing up the thing and you're going down and there it is, one way. You're not going back up a water slide. Maybe some have done it with enough liquid courage, going back up, but you want to be going back up if someone else is coming down. That's a way to get taken out big time.
A blown knee.
That's a way to go on the IL.
Exactly.
But I always said about this portal now, it's that revolving door, man. You get in, you take a look, you can go around a couple of times, come back to the same team, get out at this stop, ring the bell, whatever you want.
Yeah, man.
And Jihad Carter has re-entered the portal after a year at Ohio State. Starting strong safety, three seasons at Syracuse, and now he's back in again. Now, I started to think to myself, like, where did I have him in the depth chart? And we know when Caleb came in, Caleb Downs, free safety, he played primarily as a strong safety at Bama, right? So I thought, you know, that's that adjuster, free safety spot, or wherever they're going to have him. And that enabled, I thought, Lathan Ransom to kind of move up the strong safety ladder. And so we made the assumption, which was correct, this last off, you know, after the offseason, that Styles was going to move the linebacker. Mm-hmm. So we thought that Malik Hartford and I thought Jahad Carter would be the next dude up behind the starters at safety, and that's not good enough for him.
You had Hancock floating around in that secondary, too. He's done some things. He's kind of a nickelback, too, in that defense. So the writing was probably on the wall for him when Caleb Downs came in, maybe similar to what Dallin Hayden felt, right, when Quinshon Judkins came in. When you're around a program like Ohio State, they're never going to stop bringing in elite talent. It'd be stupid to do that. So when Caleb Downs calls and says, hey, I'm interested in playing for Ohio State, you go about that business all day and tomorrow. So for Carter, it's probably exactly what you laid out. You look around the depth chart, you look at the real opportunities that could potentially be there for you, and there probably in his mind weren't a lot of snaps to be had. It's a guy that came over from Syracuse, played a lot of football for them, thought I could go to Columbus, level up my play, up my draft status and all those things. But now here we are in the offseason of 2024 and things have shifted, and a lot of the veteran guys on defense, obviously, and honestly on the whole team, decided to come back for this season. So I completely understand this, because it was an uphill climb, or it looked like it would be an uphill climb as far as a lot of playing time for him out there for the Buckeyes. And now on the flip side of that for Ohio State, they're still in really good hands. So you lose some depth here, obviously, but with those top guys that are going to be ready to play, and with the addition now of Downs, you know, an All-American last year as a freshman, that secondary should be just fine.
All right, the draft goes swimmingly for a few of these guys. Marvin Harrison, we know, went fourth overall. And so now Ohio State has had a first-round pick nine straight years. They're closing in on that 100 first-round draft picks overall. I don't think they'll get there next year. I think they need eight or nine. I'll have to go back and check. But when you think about the receivers that have been drafted in the first round, you know, with Harrison going four, that's as high as I can remember any receiver going for Ohio State. Right?
Quite the honor.
I think that's a record.
No, I think you're right.
Because of all the guys that I remember, like Ted Ginn went top 10, but not four. David Boston, top 10, not four.
Yeah, it's a tremendous honor, man, because you just, a couple of the names Galloway, you mentioned, right? Yeah. JG, and just the history that this program has at that position, to be that guy, to have that feather in your cap, it's awesome for him. And I absolutely believe wholeheartedly that he's going to pay off on that draft pick, and he's going to show the Arizona fan base what we've seen over the last couple of years. And you pay him with a guy, or pair him with a guy like Kyler Murray, who's got some high peaks. Like, his peaks can be special with his skill sets. I know some of the valleys have been unattractive for some people, and I get that. But Kyler, I think when you catch him on the right Sunday, he can look like one of the best. I was at draft night, I was like, Marvin, can you see past the drip? You know, he had the sunglasses on, the dreads looked good, they were braided up nicely. I was just like, he kept having to move them out of the way. I was like, can he see?
I think they had to go up a little bit of a stairway to get to the mirror.
Yeah, they did.
They did. And they all were wearing sunglasses. Corey Hart, sunglasses at night. And I was a little worried. Now, these are presumably professional athletes, but what goes through my mind, because I'm only thinking of it through my brain, is that's the last thing that you'd ever want to have happen. God. If you got turf toed on the way to the podium after getting picked. Mm-hmm. Now, the card's in, you've been picked. But you're not living that down, not in this era. Now, you could live it down if you become a star and you have a moment. But
to your point,
it's kind of like when Harbaugh tripped going to the podium, getting introduced as the Michigan head coach. Now, the good news for him, he didn't go down. Mm-hmm. And he had a good line where he said a lesser man would have gone down. But when I watch these guys go up there with the hair and the sunglasses and all they're thinking is I got picked, I'm wondering if you know, anyone can stumble.
You're on to something, because we dunk on Mac Jones for his strut at a draft, let alone a twisted ankle and a fall to the ground. You're never living that down. But Marv looked good, though. The drip was nice, man. I just didn't know. I was like, can you see, big dog? Yeah.
He's seeing clearly now.
That's right, man. Out in the desert.
More wide receivers taken in the NFL draft in the last 24 years than any other program outside of LSU. And they'll probably get him at some point. I think they're one behind him now as far as receivers taken.
And Emeka may follow up next year. You never know. He's got the talent. He puts together a really good season. I could see Emeka being a first-round pick next year.
I mentioned earlier, Cade Stover, the tight end, going fourth round, 123 overall to the Houston Texans. So it's a two-time captain for Ohio State and one of the best just pure football guys we've seen. He was a finalist for the Mackey. He was tight end of the year, I believe, in the conference for sure. And he was with the program for five great years, lettered for four of them, and now he gets to go hang out with CJ.
It's awesome, right? And not only CJ, but he can learn from Dalton Schultz, you know, a guy that's been around the league for a little bit, so he can, you know, slowly work his way into the NFL and just get a real feel of what it takes to be a solid tight end in the league, because Dalton Schultz has been that. And you never know, maybe in time Cade Stover could take over that tight end room and be the guy. But Cade did, I thought, an awesome job of stepping up last year. Just got done mentioning Emeka, and Emeka had to miss some time or some other injuries, whatever was going on last year. Cade Stover was a nice rock for Kyle McCord a year ago. So I expect him to go on to the league and do some decent things. And, like, man, whenever you attach yourself to an elite quarterback, that's a great place to be. And CJ is going to dot him up when he's open.
Tommy Eichenberg, Raiders, fifth round, 148 overall. 75 combined run stops in the last couple years. That was the top mark of any Big Ten linebacker. And he was a TFL machine in the top three in the conference, and so he goes to the Raiders, and he gets to go to Vegas.
Hey, and his head coach, Antonio Pierce, was a linebacker and linebacker coach, so obviously he sees something in him, and maybe he can really coach him up and get him ready to go. So a nice little landing spot for him because of who his head coach is.
That is today's Buckeye Bulletin. All right, SportsCenter update here, top of the hour. We come back, deep dive. Mel Kiper, another year in the books, his grades. Who did he take the axe to? Find out next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, Rothman and Ice, final hour. Dave Lapham, Mr. Bengal at 2:33, will go over Cincy's picks and whether they addressed it, their needs, got talent, ready for their return to glory.
Hey, let me ask you this. Like, outside, like, what was one of your just favorite picks of the draft? Just maybe for fantasy purposes, or you just liked the guy in college? Was there a pick for you that you really liked?
I think the one that's got me the most intrigued is the Xavier Worthy pick.
Because of where he's going.
And not only that, the fact that they gave them a chance to get him. I know you can't. You know, there's this old, you know, let's just worry about ourselves, make our team better. We can't, that's all we can control. No, that's not. You can actually control the draft if you want. And Buffalo decide. Now, Buffalo got their guy in Keon Coleman, and he turns out to be better than Xavier Worthy and better than Leggett. Then great. Then they did a great job there. But Kansas City traded up to get the fastest player in combine history. Now, there have been a lot of football players in the world. And I understand, for every Ronaldo Nehemiah, there's a Jerry Rice. Like, speed is not
Ronaldo
the be-all.
Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Yeah,
that's
why I threw that name out.
I don't think I've heard that.
I don't know what his...
Ronaldo Nehemiah. Was he... Yeah, what do we need to know about him?
He was an absolute track and field star in the 110 hurdles. And he went undrafted back in 80.
Yeah.
And he was picked, I think the Niners got him or the Raiders got him. I'll have to go back. But they basically said, we need him because he is a track star phenom.
All right.
And so he went to the Olympics. I don't know if he won gold in the Olympics or not, but he was a burner.
Two first names. Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Nehemiah? I've never heard that as a first name.
I know a Nehemiah.
Do you really?
Yeah, I know a Nehemiah.
Does he go by anything short or just the whole thing?
It was just always Nehemiah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. No, learned something new today. You threw that name out there. I didn't know if that was a movie name or that was a real life
name.
That's
a real, okay. It's a real human being.
Real life. Now, listen, I understand why you would pick Xavier Worthy.
4.21.
I know.
In the 40.
And it's similar to what we talked about with the Browns. And, you know, they've been trying to take swings at finding a speedster because of the power run game that they have. But we know in Kansas City, you got Kelce doing all of his things in the middle of the field. And if he can give them anything as far as being a real threat, like, that's going to be a potentially scary thing. And we know Andy Reid. That's why I like the pick, too, is because of not only the quarterback, but the play caller that he's attached to. And Andy Reid's an incredible play caller. We've seen Kansas City for years now do all these crazy things down in the red zone. So I'm sure he'll play a factor in that role as well. So I did like the Xavier Worthy pick. I like what San Francisco did. I think that kid's going to make a name for himself in Ricky Pearsall. That's a guy that at Florida, he's been around for a while, right?
Makes every catch.
He wasn't talked about a ton, but I think because of where he's going, with Kyle Shanahan being the play caller there, I think that's going to become a pretty interesting name. Yeah. So I like Ricky Pearsall there going to San Francisco.
So let me give you the last little tidbit on Ronaldo Nehemiah. So, and here's the best part, and I left this part out. He never played football.
Track guy only.
Never played football in college. And he worked out for a ton of teams. And he wound up signing with, I just looked it up, the Niners.
Okay.
And I looked up his stats. So he wound up hanging out for 3 years in the NFL as a wide receiver. He caught 43 passes, but he was a 17.5 yard average guy. Got in the end zone 4 times. And then I don't know what, I must have had this in the way back of my brain, because I don't know why I linked them together, Rice and Nehemiah, because one guy was undrafted and Jerry Rice was a first round pick. And in 1985, when the Niners were drafting, they drafted Jerry Rice, and they said, Ronaldo, it's been good.
See ya.
So that was it. He got Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
But he wound up staying in the league for 3 years, never playing football in college.
Okay.
Just a track phenom.
Yeah.
And they said, let's get this guy in here. Now, Worthy obviously played a lot of football, and he is really fast. And you gave him to Mahomes, and it has the whole Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can get the ball in his hands and block for him,
he can be scary.
He's gone.
He can be scary.
Yeah.
And he might have to be ready sooner rather than later, depending on what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. And if a suspension comes down for him, is that 4 games, 6 games, 2 games? I don't know, but he may have a lot on his plate. So they got rid of MVS. They got rid of Juju over the last couple of years. Tyreek Hill, you just mentioned. Now, potentially, they could find another solid wide receiver out there in Kansas City. I'll tell you.
Is the guy you know, Nehemiah, is he fast?
No, he's not fast.
Okay.
No, he's a hooper, though, but he wasn't fast. See, he was a hooper, but he was not fast. I'll tell you on defense, a couple picks I really liked, because you know I liked this team, and then something happened, and I had to back off just a little bit, and that was called the retirement of Aaron Donald. But I like what the L.A. Rams have done trying to replace one of the best of his generations. In the first round, they went to Florida State, went shopping in the D-line room and got Jared Verse. In the second round, they went back to that same room and got Braden Fisk, who's one of my favorite players to watch on Florida State's team last year. He was just a monster in the middle of that defensive line. So you're bringing in two guys that have chemistry together, that were highly productive last year at Florida State. Now you get them out to L.A. with the young guys that they already had on defense that they hit on a year ago. This makes me feel a lot better about the Rams, because I think their offense is going to be crazy explosive this year if everybody is healthy, most importantly, Matthew Stafford. But going down to Florida State AR and getting Jared Verse and Braden Fisk for L.A.,
I think they like went up to get Fisk.
Did they move up in the second round?
I think they did, and I think they had to pay a decent price to do it. I'll look up.
I think he's going to be worth it. Yeah. I think that dude's a dog, and you put him in the middle of that D-line with some of the pop that they already have there from last year. I like what they've tried to do replacing Aaron Donald, even though that's going to be an uphill climb.
Yeah. Well, Fisk has really made it because he played at Western Mich, and then he went to Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to look and see what they traded up to get him. But when you lose Aaron Donald, and I think you said it right, you have to get edge help. They had to get something there on the line. And by them going edge and then D-line 1-2, they did take Corum there at 83.
Stole one from Harbaugh.
So going to be in L.A. They took Corum, and he should push for some touches. And so Sean McVay knows Kyren Williams is a very similar type back. And so now he's going to push that. So you're right. Here's the funny thing about the Rams. The Rams picked 19 overall. That's the highest pick they've had in 7 years.
Blank them picks. Blank them.
They've never been that. And then they traded more draft capital, I think, to move up to get Fisk. I've got to find out. Verse, to get those teammates, I think is pretty cool. Yeah, it's a decent draft.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm all in. So I'm back in.
Did Mel have them as a B+, A- kind of thing?
Let me see what Uncle Mel had going on for the old Rams. He gave them a B+.
I thought so.
Yeah, he gave them a B+. So he likes what he saw from L.A. What's up, CB?
What do you got, CB? Yeah,
so the terms of that trade, they moved up 13 spots to number 52 to get them. They sent a 2024 fifth-round pick, which was number 155, and then their second-round selection the next season of 2025.
That's not bad for me. Like I would make that move all day and tomorrow, because last year they had a rookie in Kobe Turner, and I know he was playing next to Aaron Donald, but as a rookie, he had 9 sacks. So that guy paired with the new juice that they have, they're going to have this young, hungry defensive line that may be able to get after you late in games if that offense can take off and cook you early in the first half, right? If you're chasing points because Puka and Cooper Company are getting after you, this D-line could be pretty good.
All right, let me tell you about my team, the Detroit Lions. They actually... Come on,
man. You got a new quarterback.
I'm pretty sure that they did really well. I haven't seen Kuiper's great on the Lions, but the fact that they traded up to get... They traded up to pick 24 to get Terrion Arnold, who I had predicted was going to the Raiders at 13.
Yeah, you like him.
So, he's an alpha. That guy is ready to go. I mean, you're in the SEC. They're slinging the ball around. He led the entire conference in picks and pass breakups. Yes. And he led the conference in also run defense, like as far as grades. So, but they've had to overhaul the corner room. Detroit has. So, and they're rebuilding that defense. Remember, that defense was not great in coverage last year. Not great is putting it mildly. They were 30th. So they went corner, the Lions did.
Uncle Mel hit him with a B. So solid. Okay. Solid.
All right. I thought it'd be higher.
He had Arnold at his third overall corner. So that they got a good player there. But they showed us last year they have the ability to maybe find some gems in the draft with Brad Holmes, their GM, doing his thing. And they're in their window. They're absolutely in their window right now as a team that is a real threat in the NFC.
All right. I'm going to guess. So let's do the grays. Cleveland, I said this earlier, they had 6 picks. Mm-hmm. They were never going to be higher than a B. I just don't even know how they could be unless somebody fell to them and they just stole him. You might be able to say that a little bit about Michael Hall, but I'm going to guess he gave them a B-.
No? He's got him with a C+. You're close.
Okay, so not bad.
C+.
There wasn't going to be much better than that.
Yeah. He said, real quick little snippet, he said, I say all of this because there were several really good running backs and receivers available when the Browns drafted defensive tackle Michael Hall Jr. at 54, looking at this roster, I would have gone a different direction. Mm. So I think he's a little concerned about the Chubb thing, which I get, right? Yeah. The uncertainty of Chubb. Maybe you go and get one of those running backs to give you some more security. But Andrew Berry and company obviously are telling us that they have confidence in Ford and Strong and Foreman, that they got to hold it down for a little bit. They'll be just fine.
All right, the Bengals made 10 picks. So in kind of my reverse psychology, I assume that Kuiper got them definitely into the B range. It might have been higher based on how much he liked Mims, because there was a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of in and out on Amarius Mims. I like him. They needed pass protection for Burrow. I assume he's going to like that. And then with their second pick, Chris Jenkins out of Michigan at pick 49, I mean, they say he's the strongest player in the draft pound for pound as far as run defense. So my guess is with Cincinnati, since they addressed their needs so well, A-.
Solid B. He gave him a B. He mentions that, you know, Mims could have been a higher draft pick if he had a little bit more experience. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I like the swings that they're taking in the trenches, right? I'm all in on, especially on Mims, with Trent Brown being a veteran guy that's had some ouchy stuff going on. But Chris Jenkins, we've talked so much about, you know, the loss of Reader. I know they brought in some other vets, but now you get some young legs on that defensive line to hopefully pair with Trey Hendrickson. We'll see what unfolds with that. But then the big one that I know has some Bengal fans excited is Jermaine Burton and the potential of what he can do maybe down the road. So if you're Charlie Jones, Yoshi Voss, you've been put on notice just a little bit when they go draft a young receiver in the third round. But for at least this year, we'll see who can carve out more, a better role between the three, because we know up top it's going to be Uno and Higgins.
Burton doesn't drop the ball. He catches everything.
That helps.
And that'll keep you in the league, so we'll find out. But you're right. They have playmaking ability everywhere. All right, when we come back, we'll stick with the draft. The expectations for a certain team, and will they finally end their losing streak to a rival? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, bet 365 time, Maddie. And before you say that, I'm done with the Cavs.
You should be.
I'm sitting this out the rest of it. I can't believe teams that don't show up in the playoffs. What, they think they have the series won up 2-0? Now, maybe they'll rescue it. They're going to be coming home on Tuesday night and watch. They'll probably whack Orlando.
That home cooking, maybe so. But
I don't know, man. I just have to stay away. I'm surprised. I want to get your opinion on the blowouts. I just didn't feel like... I thought the games would be a little closer at times in the playoffs.
I can't believe the last game got away from them the way that
up
it
at half,
did. Like, I kind of understand game three. Orlando's desperate, right? Going home. Their season on the line. But then game four...
They're going home.
Man, well... If Orlando wins this thing tomorrow night, that'll probably be the tune the Cavs got to sing. So
that could be our new song, CB, if that happens to your boys.
Maybe they were hanging out too much at Disneyland. You know, maybe that's what got them. Too many funnel cakes and roller coaster rides. But yeah, they got to get this figured out for tomorrow. But at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Guardians off today. Redlegs out on the left coast taking on the San Diego Padres. I'm looking at Nick Lodolo. Some call him Mini Randy Johnson. And I'm going to go with his case tonight.
The little unit?
The little unit with the way he's out there. He's got a little unit to him when you watch him pitch. AR, they've got him at 5.5 Ks for tonight. And I'm taking that juice at plus 100 and going with the OVA, OVA, for Nick Lodolo on 5.5 Ks. You got anything tonight, or are you rolling with me?
I told you I'm sitting this one out,
okay,
but I think I made it could be a sprinkle on the little unit. No, just the little unit. We got him.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
All right, do you guys know that the... I think I have this down because I thought I counted it right, but who knows. I think the Bears have lost to the Packers 10 straight times.
Oh, yeah, because that's when Aaron Rodgers went in Chicago and told that lady, that essentially, this is my house. And didn't she hit him with a double bird or something?
I would hope so.
That's what, right, me too. But I think that's why whenever that record comes up, I think about that situation. They've been dominating them, to say the least.
Well, here they are, resetting the quarterback position, trading away Justin Fields. And we both thought it was the semi-right decision. Yeah. I don't think they just didn't build around Fields. They did what they did. Mm. And we know the playmaking ability that Caleb has, and we'll see if he can bring that to the NFL right away. They certainly set him up to succeed. They grab Odunze at 9. And, I mean, he's able to just take everything from you, 50-50, anything. That's a pretty damn good weapon for him to have. And then he has DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Odunze right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And they added some pieces to their offense, and they grabbed another off. They grabbed an offensive lineman in the third round. Mm-hmm. They grabbed a Well, they grabbed a
They came into the Big Ten and went to Iowa, shopped at their
store. Torrey Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about
in the four.
You think about punting, Iowa jumps immediately to mind.
Incredible. Very valid point.
I mean, if you're a scout, you're thinking, okay, who punts the most and how good is he?
It's Iowa because they don't like to score points up there. They just like to play defense.
I just read his stats. 35 punts inside the 20, and he can punt it up to 70 yards. And then they traded back in the draft at the end, and they picked up what the people say is a pretty high upside pass rusher in Austin Booker out of Kansas in the fifth round. So with all that being said, the fact that they've lost to their rival 10 straight times. Mm. And we know where the Packers are right now.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they're ready to take off.
They're no pushover.
Right.
Packers currently have a pretty damn good team. But Orlovsky's talking about the expectation of not Bears.
I think that this team in Chicago is going to be playing meaningful games in December. And I think the expectations for both individual performance and team success is the highest it's been for a number one quarterback since the Colts took Andrew Luck. He's that talented of a physical talent. The team around him, both in the offensive line and skill group, is such a significant upgrade over the past couple of years. Top seven, top eight skill group in their conference. And that defense is probably going to play to a top eight defense in the league. Yeah, the expectation for performance is going to be similar to what Andrew Luck did his rookie year.
The key in all that for me is what Dan mentioned when it came to their defense. Because I'm with everybody. I think their offense can be very explosive in year number one. But their defense, especially after they got Montez Sweat last year, they started to turn a corner. You go look at those last handful of games and what their defense was starting to create under Matt Eberflus. Mm-hmm. If that carries over to 2024, and you're not going to be asking Caleb Williams to get the 24, 28, 30-plus points a lot throughout the season, then this Bears team could be a legitimate threat in the NFC. We saw last year in Houston what it looks like when you nail the quarterback position, but even just it's bigger than that with Chicago because of the star power that they have, and especially when they can balance this thing out, right? They can go into games knowing if we got to go toe-to-toe with an aerial attack, we can do that. If we want to slow it down and let DeAndre Swift and our running backs do their thing, we can do that as well. So the Dunze pick, I think, is great insurance for a guy like Keenan Allen, who has showed that he hasn't been able to get through a season cleanly all the time. So if he does miss a pocket of time, 2-3 games, whatever it is, I think Adunze is going to be able to really step up and pair with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and really be a handful on offense. So, yeah, I mean, this is I don't know if I see them making a deep playoff run, but I could see them potentially getting into the postseason this year. I see that.
Okay, so that's a fairly hot take because they're not winning the division. I mean, they're not. The Lions or the Packers are going to win it.
Did we think Houston was winning the division last year at this point?
No, we thought the Jags would.
Right.
Yeah, we thought the Jags would.
I hear you, though, because I like Green Bay with you. I like Green Bay and what they showed last year. The Lions are legit. They're stamped with what they are.
Green Bay went defense, too, in the draft up top.
Yeah.
He did. I like what he's saying. I think here's the best thing you could say is they still won 7 games. Like, somehow the Bears won 7 games last year, which means they were only 2 behind the Packers. Mm-hmm. And we thought the Packers. Now, the Packers got on a roll in the playoffs and put a lot of scare into people. Maybe the Bears could if they sneak in. But, you know, I like to say, if they're in, somebody got to go. I don't know who's going to go.
So, real quick, our Bet365 is telling us the Detroit Lions are still the favorite, plus 140. Okay. The Packers are in second place at plus 225. But the value on the Bears, plus 350.
To win the division?
Yeah, I like it. And then your Vikes at plus 600. Yeah. So I think that division is going to be highly competitive.
I'm just starting to think to myself, Niners, Cowboys, Lions, Eagles, Rams, Packers, the winner of the whoever wins Tampa's division this year.
Baker,
right?
Kirk,
somebody's got to go. Yeah. So then you got to pull out a team. And the only team I can think of is that maybe they get over on the Packers.
And you never know, man. And then you mess around and split with the Lions. Maybe I don't know if the Lions are just going to sweep them in year one. Maybe they do.
No,
but
not,
I think,
not sweep.
You know,
I'm
the
just
division.
Saying, I think, I'm just trying to find a way to get the Bears in the playoffs. And the only way I can do that is through wild cards.
To
so
your
I've
point.
Got to get somebody out
yeah,
of there.
To your point, it could be tight. But I think they can be right there this year with the team that they've built in the offseason.
Like I said, they were 2 wins behind the Packers. And they were, I mean, obviously somebody's got to win Tampa's division. Tampa won it with 9 wins.
Right.
But yeah, for them to get in, it's very similar to the AFC North, right? Like, how many can you get in as a wild card? And that's kind of where the Bears sit, but they're in decent shape. All right, that's your pre-snap read for today. We come back and we check in on the impact Cincinnati made in their draft. They called it a big draft. Did they execute it? We'll talk to Lapp next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in. All right, big draft for the Bengals because you know that trying to add a lot of big-priced free agents under Burrow's contract and the one that Chase is going to have and everything else, you have to draft well if you're Cincy. And it looks like they went for beef and they did it right where this guy likes to have it on that offensive line. Our guy, Mr. Bengal, Dave Lapham, with us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Lap, how you been, man?
Man, how the heck you doing today? It's a beautiful time of the year. It's almost like an official holiday now, the NFL draft. I was reading where in the betting world, more money is bet on the National Football Draft than on the NBA and NHL games combined, and the NFL loves that.
That's a great stat. You guys went for beef, man. You got to protect Joe Burrow. He's the biggest asset you have. And they added this massive kid, Amarius Mims. Give me your take on that 18th overall.
Yeah, I think he's extremely fortunate to be drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals because, you know, he's got a couple of he's going to be mentored by a couple of guys with his body type. You know, I mean, he's got Trent Brown is 6'8", 370 pounds. Orlando Brown is 6'8", over 350 pounds. Mims is, according to who you listen to, I guess, 6'7", 6'8", 340 pounds himself. And I'll tell you what, guys, he looks like he weighs 285. Man, does he carry the 340 pounds unbelievably well. You can see abs. It's unreal. He's only 21 years old. He's got braces on. Literally, he's wearing braces. So, I mean, he's still a kid. Offensive tackle out of Georgia, 402 pass blocking snaps that he was involved with. He allowed 6 pressures. I mean, his measurables are ridiculous. It's crazy when you look at the Bengals offensive line now. It's the Cincinnati skyline. It's the land of the Giants. It is a bunch of massive human beings. Orlando Brown is now the third largest guy in the offensive line. I mean, he was down there the day after the draft meeting Mims, and he was like dumbfounded by how big this kid is. I mean, it's his measurables. He's got the wingspan the size of Will Chamberlain, you know, 7'2" wingspan. It's crazy. His arms are over 36 inches long. It's 6'7.5", 340 pounds, ran sub 5.140. It is crazy. Now, did he play a lot? No. Injuries? Yes. I do give him credit, though. Could have transferred. Said, no, I want to stay with a winner, and I want to compete. He played with a winner in high school, played with a winner now in college. And now he's playing with a winner, he hopes, here in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals. So the thing, though, is his body type is the exact same as the other two guys who have made the Pro Bowl and won a Super Bowl. So these guys are going to say, you know, Amarius, this is what I dealt with my length, used to your advantage. It can be a problem if you allow it to be, and here's how you prevent that problem. Here's how you utilize it in a positive way. And I can't think of a more fortunate situation for the kid to be watching these guys every single snap at training camp, at practice, repetition with them, watching them playing in the games. Hopefully he's taking snaps in the games as well. It's a great way for him to mature and develop as a football player.
All right, Lop, let's stay on offense and get your opinion on, you know, the addition of Jermaine Burton to that wide receiver room. We know up top they're in great hands with Higgins and Chase with how dominant those guys can be. But looking at that room now with the addition of Burton, what do you like about him as a prospect, and how do you think he can make his way onto the field in year one?
Yeah, he's incredibly gifted physically. I mean, he's got first-round talent. He just runs away from people. And when you watch tape, he doesn't drop the football. I mean, you got to really work hard to find a drop. He's got excellent body control. He tracks the ball exceptionally well. I mean, he does that about as well as any young receiver I've seen on tape for a while. And the thing I think that is the most outstanding thing, he's been working with TJ Hushmanzada, who all Bengal fans know was an outstanding route runner. And what TJ always did and what he's doing to the guys that he's teaching, I could see it on tape with Burton, is instead of, you know, a 10-yard out, well, you can run a 10-yard out, you know, till the cows come home, the exact same. Well, what TJ has taught these guys, have a little wrinkle in there, have a little something different, you know, a change of pace, acceleration, deceleration, a little wiggle here. And keep the defensive back on the heels, not the toes. Don't let him have easy reads. I mean, he is an exceptional route runner, and he's got it fine-tuned with what made TJ Hushmanzada the pro that he was from a route running standpoint, and he caught the heck out of the football as well. So I think Burton, as long as he, you know, stays away from the off the field issues, which are the reason that he was the 80th pick of the draft, you know, he's a competitive kid, uber competitive, and sometimes he can't control that off the football field. He's got to mature and learn to do that. Right now the Bengals are holding on to their collective butts, hoping that he is going to mature and do that. The one thing that a lot of times, though, will give guys a big wake-up call. He lost a lot of money, man. I mean, if he was going to be a first-round pick, first to third round is dollars. And it's at that point, maybe you decide you do want to grow up a little bit, and he does. As you guys have mentioned, he's got a former player, NFL player, Trent Walters, as a coach at the wide receiver position, and pretty good guys who are talented players as well in that room to help him mature, and hopefully that group will lift him up.
Lap, let me end on this one, and I'll take you back to where you start as a player, and you know the position very well in that offensive line. I just looked it back up. I knew they were bad, but they were second to last in rushing the football last year, less than 90 yards a game. I know you want to be pass first when you have a guy named Joe Burrow. How much do you believe that they can and will be more balanced moving forward?
Yeah, I think, like you said, can and will. I think they can, and I think they will. Be more balanced. And, you know, a guy that is going to be a little bit of a factor in that, this Matt Lee that they took in the seventh round, people are like, you know, seventh round. Well, he's projected in the Bengals board as a top fifth round, 5A guy. He's got 51 college starts, productive, athletic, got a good, decent anchor for size. He could get bigger, obviously. They think he's got some growth there as a nasty finisher. And that's what has to happen. These big beasts have to finish, you know, and obviously they're men Mountain Dean. And it's not like they're stiffs athletically. They can do some things. They can pull. They can get out in space. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the running game. And I agree with you. You know, I obviously will not turn my back on the passing game with the weapons they have, a receiver and Joe Burrow at the quarterback position. But as a former offensive lineman, you start to own that line of scrimmage when, you know, they have to worry about you coming off the football and hitting them right in the mouth. And, you know, now you take control of that real estate a little bit. And, boy, is it much easier to pass protect. So, yeah, I think that's a factor. I agree with you guys.
All right. We'll cut you loose. We appreciate these valuable minutes. Thanks, Lap. Can't wait to talk to you during the off season. Take care.
Have a great one, guys. Enjoy your time. Have the best day you ever had.
There he is, Dave Lap, a Mr. Bengal, one of the greats, and still broadcasting down there. I will tell you this real fast.
Yeah.
Because we made the bet on this. CB, I did go back to the draft for a bet. I bet that I took the value on that Mr. Irrelevant was going to be a defensive player. I mean, how sick is that? And it turns out, it was the Alabama safety, Jalen Key, was the final pick of the draft by the Jets at 257. And there you go. I know there are a lot of stuff that gets bestowed on them, like Disneyland, and there's a trophy presentation and all that. Because Purdy got it, you know, and a couple years ago or whenever that was, right? How many
years ago? Two years ago now, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 years ago. Now, yeah, real quick, going back to Mims, because, you know, Lapp was talking about just how tall the dude is. Like, right. it's crazy how big their tackles are. And it makes a lot of sense that you would obviously take a tackle to protect Joey B, but it's also the guys you got to go up against in your division, too, right? And knowing that you got to see T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett four times a year. I mean, these guys have won Defensive Player of the Year awards, what, two out of the last 3 years. T.J. got it a couple years ago. Bosa got it. And then last year, Myles Garrett won that. So you got to be able to hold up, too, and try to slow down two of the best in the sport. So I like what the Bengals did in the draft on both sides of the ball down there in the trenches, and they're going to figure out the Trey Hendrickson thing. I know Zach Taylor came out over the last couple of days and said, quote, we want Trey to play here next year for us. He's going to play here next year for us. So there's the head coach on record saying that he thinks he's going to be around. We shall see how the front office maneuvers when it comes to Hendrickson, a really good pass rusher himself.
Think about the identity of this division. And you guys have been running the football for a long time, mm-hmm. really well. And the Steelers loaded up on O-line this year. Mm-hmm. And the Brownies, they'd like to still be, they can, a very balanced team if Chubb bounces back. And Cincinnati addressed some big needs. We'll see if it works out, but they needed to help that offensive line.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
And they did. All right, we'll come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only show where sports talk is eclipsed by food talk.
Go nuts.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
All right, CB, take us home.
All right, so EA Sports is bringing back their college football video game this summer, and there's some leaks out there that the cover players are not going to be former players this time around. They will be current players, meaning they would be getting paid their NIL to be on the cover of this game. And it sounds like there would be multiple players involved in this. So if they did choose a guy from Ohio State to be on this year's edition, which player do you think best fits?
Well, I want to go safe, right? Because I can't throw a guy on there that may not be the guy.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't want to do that. I would say I would go with either Emeka Buka or JTT. Like one of those two. And yeah. My first instinct would go to well, they like going offense. So there's so many to choose from there. Well, maybe I'll side with JT. I think it's going to be a big year for him. I think it has to be. He's shown what he can do. I'd throw him on there. I mean, I guess you could obviously go Caleb Downs, but
in my opinion, I don't think if you just transferred to Ohio State, you can be on the cover this year. Caleb, Will Howard, Quinshon. Like those guys, the guys that have been here for a few years, they are the Buckeyes for me right now. They've suited up in games for Ohio State. The other guys haven't so far. CB, I'm going to create a bit of a loophole here, and I'm going to go with a couple guys on defense and a couple guys on offense. So I'll go.
Many covers, so little time.
Well, no, just I'm going four guys. Travion and Emeka.
Okay.
And then I'm going to pair them with Denzel and JT and get four Buckeyes on the cover together.
Okay. A 2024 little Rushmore version.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what Caleb Downs is saying to you, Matt? He's saying, let the unacceptable candidates worry about that because I am acceptable.
All right, so tomorrow we will get an interview with our friend John Daigle talking all things fantasy regarding these rookies coming into the league. But I will ask you this question now about a long-standing running back. His name is Ezekiel Elliott, going to those Cowboys. My question to you is, what is his running back fantasy finish ceiling this year in Dallas?
Ooh, see, this is tricky now.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky.
There you go. Like, I don't think the yardage AR is going to get out of hand. However, could he stumble into double-digit touchdowns for them boys? Like, that's where mm-hmm. I'm getting caught up here with his ceiling.
Yeah.
That if you get 10, 12, do I say 12 touchdowns from Zeke this year, Could that have him in the top 15, top 20? That's why this is a good question by CB.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're dealing with some 35-year-old running back. You know, he's... But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, I got to know he's getting a decent amount of touches. And if I'm only getting him in the red zone, then he's only a flex. Unless he's starting on a week where my guys are off and I got to play him. So that's the problem, is we're saying, okay, you got to start this guy every week. Mm. You're not doing it.
Flexing him?
You're flexing him at best right now, unless you draft horribly. And you're probably going to use him on a bye week and hope that he falls into the end zone. Because I'm with you, unless that green arrow starts to go up and he starts getting more touches and he can handle it. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, a touchdown equals 60 yards rushing. You'll take it all day.
Yes, you will.
And
let me ask you this.
If he catches a few passes for me and I have PPR or full PPR, but are we going to get him enough downs?
Well, that's what I was about to ask you. Like, they didn't draft running back.
They did not.
So is he their starting running back right now if they had to play a game today? If the Cowboys broke the huddle for 2024, is Zeke the starting running back? I think he might be.
Over Uncle Rico?
Yeah. I think he might be. So maybe, because you just nailed it. He's been a great pass catcher. They obviously trust him to protect mm-hmm. Dak on third down. That's always been a great trait of Zeke's, is to be essentially an extra offensive yeah. lineman in passing down situations. So I don't know, man. Like, he may have more on his plate than I'm expecting.
He might be the starter, but will it be committee? Now, I love your thought about touchdown, red zone, yeah. the whole inside the five, here we go. Because that's what they were missing last year, and he brings that to the table. I wouldn't mind having him on my team. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to find a way to get him in the lineup every week. I just don't think he's an every week play. Not right now, unless you're flexes.
So we'll go what, top 20? Top 25?
25.
The ceiling?
Fringe top 25 for me. Yeah.
Did you say I know my truth?
Running back, not
I
overall.
Know my truth.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, okay.
All right, next up, our friend Evan Damerel will join the show on Friday to break down Game 5 and preview Game 6, which could be the decider in this Magic Cavaliers series. But the Daily Fan poll, sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft, is talking about that series and how long it's going to go. What will be the result of the Cavaliers Magic playoff series that's currently tied 2-2? Will it be Cavs in 6, Cavs in 7, Magic in 6, or Magic in 7?
It feels like to me... Well, it's trending in a very bad way. However, they have a chance to right all wrongs by winning at home tomorrow night. It feels like it's going 7, and they'll probably win it in 7.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Because Orlando, I did not think Orlando was going to find any type of offensive spark at all. Like, they haven't been that team all season. And for whatever reason, the Cavs' defense has been very spotty, to say the least. Down in Florida, but now they're coming back to the crib, and I think they'll get one, Magic will get one, we'll come back, I was going to call it the Q, we'll come back to Cleveland mm-hmm. for Game 7, I think the Cavs are still going to win the series.
Coming back to Gund Arena?
I missed the Q, man.
And the truth shall set you free!
Before we roll out, if you missed Tage Smith from Sumer Sports talking NFL draft, Tage Seth, thank you, CB, not Smith. I don't know what I was thinking there, but he's from Sumer Sports talking NFL draft, breaking down the Browns with our guy, Tyvis Powell, and then a little lap dance with Dave Lapham talking all things Bengals. Wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you, and subscribe to the Rothman and Ice podcast as well.
All right, we appreciate you listening. We'll make some room for Common Man and T-Bone. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at high noon. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. The post-NFL draft betting odds look like this. The 49ers are the favorite at plus 550, followed closely by the defending champs, the Chiefs, 6-1. Baltimore Ravens are plus 950. Cincinnati Bengals come in with the fourth best odds to win the Super Bowl at 13-1. Lions and Bills are 13-1. Browns have the 15th best odds at 40-1. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan Sports Center.
And I'm Timmy Hall. Happy Monday. How about a quick NFL draft review? That was this weekend. The Browns have completed their three-year stint of no first-round picks as the Deshaun Watson trade is now officially complete. They nabbed Ohio State's Mike Hall Jr., a Streetsboro native, with the 54th overall pick. The Bengals grabbed 10 new players, starting with first-round tackle out of Georgia, Amarius Mims. The Buckeyes had three other players drafted besides Hall, Cade Stover, fourth round to the Texans, Tommy Eichenberg to the Raiders in the fifth, and of course the fourth overall pick to the Cards in Marvin Harrison Jr. Staying with football, Jason Kelce. He's going to give NFL coverage a jolt this season. He's joining ESPN's Monday Night Countdown. RG3, the guy not expected back. And in the NBA, the 2-0 lead is gone for the Cavs. They got hammered in both games in Orlando. Series knotted at 2-2. Cleveland hosts the Magic for Game 5 tomorrow night at 8. Breaking sports.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2-for-2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.